Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible says this, unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, now it's not Pennsylvania. Everybody understands that right off the bat, right? That is not Pennsylvania. Although they are named after this Philadelphia. And that word Philadelphia means brotherly love. And there's a lot we can say about that tonight. We won't. I'll say this right now. There's a modern day Turkish city where this Philadelphia was, and I can't remember the name of it, and I can't spell it, and I can't pronounce it, but it is there, okay? So nonetheless, this Philadelphia was about 30 miles southeast of Sardis. So what happened was you had Ephesus, I'll do it for you, you had Turkey, right, western Turkey, and you had Ephesus down here in the southwest corner, and we went to Smyrna, and then we went to Pergamos, and then over to Thyatira, to Sardis, back down to Philadelphia, and then Laodicea was the furthest southeast. Okay, and so it sort of made this U-shape. Anyway, for anybody that wants to go drive that at some point in your life, you'll know where you're going. All right, here we go. Church in Philadelphia, right? These things saith he that is holy, he that is true. Boy, that is Jesus, is it not? He that hath the key of David. And if you got a key, guess what you can do? You can open doors. Amen. He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I'm surprised nobody said you can close a door, because you know what's coming. Did you all sneak a peek this afternoon? Okay, here we go. Verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength. We'll talk about that another time. And it's kept my word, there's the second commendation, and it's not denied my name, there's the third. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews that are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. And Jesus said over in the Gospels, he said, wisdom should be justified of her children. Verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take away thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's pray tonight and ask the Lord to bless us. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the good service this morning and an afternoon of rest. And now, Lord, the saints have assembled back again tonight. And Father, I pray that you'll bless them for their effort, bless them for their faithfulness. Lord, reward them with something out of your word tonight that encourages their heart and helps them in these last days. Lord, I pray you'll speak through me to the heart of your church. We pray that the word of God would have free course tonight, and it'll be glorified in our hearts. We pray we'll mix the preaching with faith, that it might be effectual and profitable in our lives. And we hope, Lord, we don't want the Holy Ghost to be grieved nor quenched nor resisted in any way. And pray that, Lord, you'll be able to work in us tonight what is pleasing in your sight. We thank you for how you've blessed our church almost 90 years now, Lord, on this hillside. And we can truly say, to God be the glory, Lord, great things that you have done. And Lord, we've seen your hand at work, just like this church at Philadelphia. And Lord, we pray you'll help us to understand these things tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so here we are in Philadelphia, the sixth church, the last one to receive a commendation. And as I've already told you, they were located about 30 miles southeast of Sardis. And again, I want to draw the attention to each one of these places is a city, it's a town. And in each one of these towns and cities, there's a group of believers just like me and you that were born again through repentance and faith, just like me and you, believing in the same Jesus that you and I believe in, right? And their names are in heaven, and they've been given the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Just like you and I in 2026 sitting in Spring City is the same salvation that was happening in Turkey. Okay? And so you gotta remember, and the Lord's really impressed this upon my mind as we've gone through this, each one of these churches It literally existed at the time that John wrote them the letters from Revelation 2 and 3. That being the case, then, it's reality that they were only separated by 30 or 40 miles each. And you've already seen how drastically different the circumstances were in each city. Ephesus got things pretty good. They're starting to drift on God a little bit, but things are still going well. You go 30 miles, 35 miles up the road to Smyrna, they're killing them in the streets. They're killing the saints in the streets. Burning them at the stake. You go 30 more miles up the road to Pergamos, and there's only one guy that died there. His name was Antipas. He was a faithful martyr, Jesus said. But in Pergamos, it's not the persecution, it's the doctrinal pollution now that's overwhelming the church and beginning to infiltrate the church. And then you turn and you start coming back down over to Thyatira and they're passive and they don't really want to upset anybody. And then you come down to Sardis like we talked about this morning and there's just a few saints there. But they're persistent. I like that. Then you come to Philadelphia, and Jesus tells this church that he's opened unto them a door and no man can shut it. Philadelphia then seems to be the fruitful ministry. Or as we might say in our P's, as we've done, where is it? The prevailing ministry. Jesus did say that the church that he builds, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And in Philadelphia, for whatever reason, Jesus opened a great door of ministry for them. And they were able to do great works and they had a fruitful ministry. And I guess if we want to pull all this back together tonight, you remember Ephesus was the promiscuous church, Smyrna the persecuted church, Pergamos the polluted church, Thyatira the passive church, Sardis the persistent church, Philadelphia is the prevailing church. If you think about this, Ephesus and Pergamos and Thyatira all had to deal with false doctrine, false apostles, and false Jews. That was a consistent issue in those three cities and those three churches. Smyrna faced the fire of persecution. No other church, even though they're all separated by less than 100 miles, no other church got persecuted like Smyrna did. And then you think about, as we talked about this morning, Sardis, they were few in number. And then Laodicea. Well, Laodicea, what were they? Well, they're the fleshly carnal church that's fizzling out. They're lukewarm, which means they're one step away from being cold on God. And Jesus did say, as that tribulation time comes about, he says that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And that church at Laodicea, they thought they were okay. They were kind of like Sardis. There's a lot of activity going on. If we could just put it in today's context, I mean, they had nice buildings, and they had big congregations, and they had really extravagant praise and worship bands and all that kind of stuff. But Jesus said, "You're naked." He said, "You're blind." He said, "You're poor as you can be." And he said, "You need to ask me for riches that won't go away." And boy, that Laodicean church was a real mess. And Jesus feels like he's on the outside of that church, knocking at the door, chapter 3, verse 20, saying, "Can I come in there?" And so all these different churches, different circumstances, different cities, different cultures. But Philadelphia is the fruitful ministry. And I know this, the Bible says there in Revelation chapter 3 verse 8, Jesus said, "Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." I know this, as we think about some of the churches and the pastors that are even coming for the 90th anniversary, and some of the churches that we've all visited, we would call these folks, certainly they're our friends, but they're family. I mean, they're born again and saved just like we are. And you can go 30 miles up the road from here in Tazewell, Virginia. There's a church that needs a pastor now. You can go 30 miles north to Grundy's, a church that needs a pastor. Go 20 miles that west, southwest, church that needs a pastor. You can go to Abingdon, 25 miles away, it's a whole different ballgame. You can go to Bristol, whole different ballgame. You can go to Kingsport and Johnson City and Gray Tennant. Go to Elizabethan, things are different. Go to Bluefield. Go to Blacksburg. Go to Withville. Go to Cana. Go to Knoxville. Things are different. Go to Chattanooga. We're all saved the same way. But what we're facing are different cultures and different circumstances and different situations. And go all over the U.S. And some of our friends are dealing with difficult situations doctrinally, trying to infiltrate their churches. And some of our friends are, maybe they're not being persecuted unto death like they were at Smyrna, thank the Lord, but they're feeling some persecutions, and maybe the governments in their city are trying to crack down on them, and that's just happened before, to where they can't do public ministry, and there's all kinds of different circumstances, and yet some are fleshly, some are carnal, some are fizzling out, but some are fruitful. I would say, Brother Knox, and reading his end of the year letter that they send out, he even made this statement. He said, it's hard to understand. He's talking about their church. He says, why our church is blooming and growing, and he says, others are dwindling. It's just the reality of where they are. It's just that God's opened the door to them, but he hasn't opened to some others. I would say Brother Ron Ralph's got a fruitful ministry down there in Carthage, building that building down there. And man, what a blessing. A great open door opened up down there in that place. That's wonderful. Brother Logan, down at Sweet Springs, building a new building down there and busting at the seams. And praise the Lord for that. Fruitful ministry. You know what you and I have got to be really careful of? That we don't look at those fruitful ministries and become envious of our brothers and sisters in Christ, because God hasn't opened the same door for us here in Spring City. It's a whole different place. You understand, from the Bible Baptist Church in DeLand, Florida, if you drew a 5-mile radius, the population would probably be 10 times what it is in Russell County alone. The same, well, maybe not Carthage, but they're close enough to Nashville. That's a huge population base. And you know, you can try to explain all that stuff. The bottom line is, Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And if he decides to open a door for somebody, praise the Lord. You know what that means? People are going to get saved. That means the word of God's going to go forth. That means there's going to be a fruitful ministry in a place for a time. And we pray that our brothers and sisters can capitalize on that. Other places, it might be fizzling out. Other places, they might be going through persecution. Other places, they might be battling doctrinal heresy. And you know what I find interesting about all these churches, even Laodicea, is Jesus says, if you can overcome. And I believe he means overcoming the world and overcoming the world through faith. Every one of those churches got a reward from Jesus for being faithful and overcoming. The churches, the saints at Smyrna that died burning at the stake, got a reward just like the saints at Philadelphia, where Jesus opened a great door and ministry was easy for them. And so, This could be circumstances, it could be seasons of ministry, whatever, however you want to slice this thing. The bottom line is this: Jesus opened the door at Philadelphia. He may still open a door at Spring City. It's amazing what God can do with just a faithful few. But we got to be faithful. Likewise, just as it would have been envious for these other churches to look at Philadelphia. And don't you know, in the new first century Baptist newsletter that got sent out, I got to be careful that we're not Baptist writers. I want to say that right off the bat. We are not Baptist writers. And so the Baptist church hasn't existed since John the Baptist. We don't believe that junk. Anyway, you know, in the newsletter that went around, these saints, Smyrna's writing about, yeah, brother so-and-so and his family got killed and hauled off to prison. Brother so-and-so and his family got run out of town, et cetera, et cetera. And then Philadelphia sends their letter, and we had 35 people saved on visitation Saturday. And you know, the saints in Smyrna hear that news and think, why is it easier down there for them than it is for us? And I can't answer that. But Jesus is the head of the church. And he told every one of these churches, he said, if you'll overcome, he said, I'll reward you handsomely. In fact, I want you to look over here, Laodicea. I mean, the church that he doesn't even commend them for anything. He just tells them to repent. He rebukes them for being lukewarm. And he comes down here, verse 21, he says, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Are you kidding me? Laodicea? Sitting with Jesus in his throne? That's what the Lord said he'd do for them if they overcame. That's worth overcoming. We do, I guess maybe there's some, if it's done, if comparing ourselves among ourselves is done to provoke unto love and to good works with a charitable heart, I'll listen to that. But God said it's not wise to compare yourselves among yourselves. And I think it would be foolish for Spring City Baptist Church to compare ourselves with another congregation in another city, in another part of the United States, or even the world for that. Listen, you know, Junior Haley's got a great and effectual door open over there in Belgium right now. We just need to pray to God that he gets all that he can while he can. But it would be unwise for us to begin to compare Spring City with other places, because they're not dealing with what we deal with here, and we're not dealing with what they deal with there. And if we can sort of keep it in focus this way, really all we've got to concern ourselves with is not the past, but the future and what we're doing right now. And if we will stay faithful as a church right now, it'd be amazing to see what God might do. You're going to get tired of that, aren't you? With just a faithful few. And so here's Philadelphia. They're the fruitful ministry. These other churches could have gotten, listen, they could have gotten envious. And they could have quit on God. Those saints up there in Smyrna could have said, God, if you're not going to bless us like we're blessing Philadelphia, we're done. And Jesus looked at those saints in Smyrna and said, be faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. All Jesus is looking for is for these seven churches to be faithful where they are. And what he's looking at Spring City Baptist Church to do tonight is to be faithful right where he's put us and build that float for another year and pay for that radio station for another month and send that mission check out every 2 months and put those scriptures together on every other Tuesday night and hold those scripture signs and go to that nursing home and hand out those tracts perhaps to the same people for the second, third, fourth, fifth, 20th time. And Jesus just said, just be faithful. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say or know, whichever one you sang, I don't care. It is well with my soul. I went to a preacher's fellowship one time. I don't go to many anymore. And I went one time over at Bristol. It was a good one. I enjoyed it. And I can't remember the brother's name. He's probably dead and in heaven by now. But he had been pastoring for over 30 years. He was an older gentleman. And you could just tell he had that ministry wisdom about him. Again, I'd never met him, never heard his name. I think he was from down beyond Kingsport, down through there toward Morristown somewhere. And anyway, he got up and he started reading from Joshua. The allocation. Maybe I should call it this way, the survey deeds for the lots that the children of Israel. Y'all remember that? Don't you love reading through that? And it went down by the big rock and over by Geshem, and you know. And if you're not careful, you just glaze over going through that stuff. But he read down through there, and man, people were getting antsy. I mean, you getting some of that from these preachers? And he stops. And he said, "Is that boring to you?" And you know, people—they're not going to answer. Yeah, I'm ready to go to sleep, man. And he said, "You know what I find in my Bible?" He said, "Or better yet, what I don't find." He said, "I don't find where any of those tribes really complained too much." Now, some of them said it's not big enough, and Joshua said, "Well, then go get some more land." But for the most part, they settled in. And the whole point of his message was this. He said, "What are you doing complaining about where God's put you?" Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. Is the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it. He'll not forsake his own. I've never forgot that message. And that message has really helped my heart a lot here at Spring City and some of the troubles we've gone through. It's easy to, man, and guys do it all the time. It's easy just to leave and try to go somewhere else. This is just me personally. I think Jesus would be a whole lot more pleased if a man just stay where he's put him, be faithful. Now, if God tells him to go, that's a different... Listen, if God tells him to go, he better go. But just to be hopping around trying to find green pasture and comfortable water, it ain't going to happen. And so the Lord's asked us just to be faithful where we are. And I keep trying to get to this point, and I think I'm going to get to it now. It would be easy for those other churches to be envious at Philadelphia. And to look down their nose and say, "Well, God, if that's how it's going to be, I'm done in Smyrna. Lord, I'm done in Thyatira. Lord, I'm done in Ephesus." But at the same time, it would have been easy for Philadelphia to think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. "Oh, well, God's blessing us. You boys better start doing it the way we're doing it." You know, the Lord gave different commands to these churches. He did not tell Smyrna to repent of anything because of the persecution they'd gone through. He did not tell Philadelphia to repent of anything. He just wanted them to get busy with the open door he'd given them. It doesn't mean that they didn't have something to repent of, but you understand what I'm saying tonight. He gave different commands and different promises to the different churches. And so may God help us here at Spring City not fall into the trap of comparing ourselves with other ministries and other places. And certainly, listen, the devil can use this. I'm telling you guys, the devil can use this to beat you down and discourage you if you're not careful. And you'll hear the reports of this many people getting saved over here, or this church building a new building, or whatever it is. They had, you know, 17 million kids come through Bible school, whatever it is. And if we're not careful, we listen to that, and the devil starts to say, "Well, you didn't have as much as that. You're not doing a good job. Well, you guys only got 35 people on Sunday night. You're dwindling. You're fizzling out. You're almost done." You can't let the devil talk to you like that. Little is much when God isn't. You know, Philadelphia, they had a big open door, but they only had a little bit of strength. Sardis, they only had a few people that hadn't defiled their garments. And they were ready to die, which means they were probably older. It bothers me. It bothers me when people start running down a church and saying, "Well, it's nothing but old people there now." I really meant what I said Wednesday night. A church that has an older congregation is a tremendous place for young families to come to and get settled into and learn how to live for God, because they got great examples. Why is an older congregation a bad thing? Just kind of stop listening to the wrong voices, amen? And Spring City Baptist Church, just be faithful in Spring City. Emmanuel Baptist Church in Abingdon, be faithful in Abingdon. Victory Baptist Church, be faithful in Bristol. Antioch Baptist Church, be faithful in Knoxville. And you understand, Bear Trail and Fellowship. That's Brother Ray, right? Or Brother Davis. Fellowship. I want to call it Friendship all the time. Is it Friendship or Fellowship? Fellowship. It ought to be Price's Fork Baptist Church. But anyway. Every church in these seven churches was promised a blessing from Christ if they would overcome the world through faith. And the promise to them, listen now, he didn't tell Sardis, now if you can make it to Philadelphia, I'll bless you. He didn't tell Ephesus, if you can get to Thyatira, I'll bless you. Do you understand? He didn't tell Laodicea, if you can get out of there and get to one of these other churches, you'll be a whole lot better off. No, he told those saints, I need you to be faithful and to overcome right where you're sitting. And if you'll overcome, Jesus said, I'll reward you handsomely. Because he's a good God. He's a great Savior. So with that, let's talk about these open doors. Okay? That's a great study in the Bible. Doors that God opened. Amen. Let's go over to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. You know, the Lord has opened doors at Spring City in the past. I think we have a number of open doors right now presently in our ministries. And I would sure like for Jesus to open some more. Acts chapter 14. You look with me here. Well, let's see. Acts chapter 14. I don't want to read all that for sake of time. Let's get down here. 24. Acts 14, 24. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia and from thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. Oh, that's, boy, don't you want that to be said about you one day? 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, can you imagine Paul and Barnabas coming back to Antioch and sitting down and saying, all right, get everybody together. We're going to have a testimony time. We're going to tell what God did on this first missionary journey. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? That'd be worth going to. And rehearsed all that God had done with them. Watch. And how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. That's a big door, you know. That door of faith to the Gentiles. And so the Gentiles are getting saved. And as Paul goes and preaches the gospel, God opens the door of faith. He gives them light. He gives them understanding. They believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and they're born again. And Paul comes back and gives the wonderful news. These people got saved here. These people got saved here. These people got saved here. These Gentiles, you wouldn't believe what they were doing when we got in town. They got saved over there. And just like anybody else, it would have been easy for one of those disciples to look at Paul's ministry. Be envious of it. It's God that opened the door. Paul's the vessel he chose to use. You know, listen, you know James that stayed at Jerusalem and helped kind of shepherd the believers in that? You know, he'll get a crown and rewards from Jesus if he did that job faithfully, just like Paul's going to? Timothy? I think Timothy got relieved from duty just personally because of all the emotional issues and things that he was having. That's just me personally, okay? I might be wrong about that. And if you disagree, that's okay. We'll still love each other. But you think about Timothy and Titus and those guys that were sent to these churches, Epaphroditus, to minister and to, listen, those guys, if they were faithful in what God gave them to do, they'll get rewarded just like Paul got rewarded. Doesn't have to. We don't always have to be the big name. We don't always have to be Paul and Apollos and Cephas, right? There's some really unsung heroes in the scriptures of names that only appear one time. Sometimes their names don't appear at all, and they'll get rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ just like the big names did. So God opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Look in 1 Corinthians 16. I did put this chronologically together for you. I had a few extra minutes this week. 1 Corinthians 16. Paul's signing off his first letter. He says in verse 7, he says, "For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost." Verse 9, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." And don't be fooled now. A fruitful ministry doesn't have it easy. A fruitful ministry is going to have many adversaries. You can talk to some of these brothers that are having fruitful ministries right now, and they'll tell you it's the biggest fight they've ever had on their hands. The adversary is not happy with that. But the gates of hell won't prevail. And so here, Paul says, "A great door and effectual is open unto me." And if you go back up in there, he says in verse 5, "I'll come to you and I shall pass through Macedonia." Remember, Paul wanted to go to Asia. Remember that? He's up there at Antioch and, "Lord, I want to go to Asia. I want to go west." And the Holy Spirit said, "Nope, you're not going west. You're going east." Sorry. He wanted to go east. I'm backwards. He wanted to go east. And God said, "No, you're not going east. You're going west." And so Paul's journeys go north and west, north and west, north and west, over through Europe and Macedonia. And you'll remember he listens to the Holy Spirit when he tells him not to go to Asia. And then very soon after that, he has that vision in the night, and a man of Macedonia saying, "Come over and help us." And so Paul loads up and they go and they come into Philippi, and Lydia from Thyatira gets set. Remember all that? And he goes down from Philippi down to Thessalonica and down to Athens and down to Corinth and just begins to make... And so anyway, the gospel goes west to east, and Paul listened to the Holy Spirit that time, and a great and effectual door was opened to him. And he goes through Macedonia and Greece and Turkey, and then the gospel goes to Western Europe. Then it ends up in England, Scotland, Ireland. And then things begin to kind of change toward the end of that Sardis church period. And then the pilgrims come on over to the good old U.S. of A. Second Corinthians chapter 2. I'd say that was an effectual door if it got the gospel all the way around the world. That's a big door. The Lord knew how that thing would propagate. He knew the hearts of the people and how that would go, going west, going over through all of our countries. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord." Okay, so here's Paul's talking about the Lord's opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, okay, about the Gentiles being born again, just like the Jews. Hallelujah for that. Amen. And then he talks about this great door and effectual, which is opened into Macedonia and into Europe and into Turkey, and eventually will come to America a few thousand years later. And that's a great door. But then he's at Troas. Troas is just one of the stops. And he says, "God opened a door unto me to preach the gospel, preach Christ's gospel in Troas." And I think this is the one that I think you and I need to think about. Maybe God hasn't opened the door for you and I to go to a mission field, or he hasn't necessarily, you know, done the fundamental opening of the door to the Gentiles through us. Obviously, he didn't do that. But every day that you and I are out here in Lebanon, Virginia, he can open the door for us. In fact, we'll come back in sometimes and talk to each other and say, "You know, the Lord opened the door for me to give a witness to this person. The Lord opened the door for me to talk to this person about something in their life with the Bible." And we use that phraseology, and it's right. And so Paul had these big, effectual, great and effectual doors open on a massive scale, but every day, everywhere he went, God was opening smaller doors, if you will, individual doors for him to be able to talk to somebody about Christ's gospel. And when you come to Colossians chapter 4, he makes a request. This is the request I think we need to have for our church. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4 verse 1. The Bible says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." There's two parts to this. Number one, you and I need to be praying for open doors in Russell County and Lebanon, Virginia. As we go out and about our daily business, listen, God can open doors. He can bring about circumstances. He can direct conversations to where there's an open door for us to just naturally be able to give out the gospel in the course of that conversation to somebody. And listen, the Lord can cross our paths with people that are searching for the truth. He can cross our paths with people that are hurting. He can cross our paths with people that are willing to listen and are ready to listen, and who somebody else has plowed, somebody else has planted, somebody else has watered. And God opens that door for you and I to give the last drop of water or to drop that seed in, whatever it might be. But every single day we ought to be praying for God to open a door of utterance for us that we can make known Christ's gospel in Lebanon, Virginia. And then you can't say all that without verse 4. Paul said, don't just pray for the open door. He said, pray that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Because I think probably everybody in here has had an open door before and we didn't say what we should have said. Or we didn't quite get the message out just right. And that's okay. We want to get the message out. But we ought to be praying for open doors, but then also praying that God would help us say what we ought to say. And that'll get the job done. So there's some open doors that the Lord opened. And I sure hope that He'll do that for you and I. God can still open those doors today. And we need to pray to that end and speak as we ought to speak. All right, now, with time left, got about 3 or 4 minutes, let me talk to you about the church age of Philadelphia. Okay? This morning, we talked about the church age that's represented by Sardis. Okay? And that was, 1517 to 1750. Okay? The church age that's represented by Philadelphia is 1750 to 1881. And it is what we call the modern missionary movement. There was a great, if you want to call it a great awakening, a great revival in England during this time. And now you got to remember what's happened, okay? And it stands to reason. Through the Sardis church age, the King James Bible was translated. And the Word of God was preserved to the common man. And boy, those copies started going out. And those Bibles started getting put out there and bound and put into people's homes, and they were reading them. They're starving to death for the Word of God, and they're reading it and they're devouring the Word of God. And listen, that Bible that you hold in your lap, that King James Bible, the fruit that that Bible has produced is unequal with any other version out there. There's been so many revivals and so many conversions and so much repentance from the pages of this book because it is the Word of God. It's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And so this Bible begins to permeate back into society and flood back into homes and into hearts and into minds. And the preachers start to preach and God begins to use these men in their lives. And so right on the heels then of the Sardis church age where God preserves His Word, you have the missionary movement, which stands to reason. Now we've got the light. Now we've got the true Bible. We've got God's true Word. And men like Charles Wesley, and George Whitfield, and Jonathan Edwards, and Hudson Taylor, and Adoniram Judd. Y'all know these names, right? These were men that God used in a great way to not only be preachers, but to be missionaries all over the world. William Carey. And in America, 1776, America's founded officially. We turned 250 this year. We've come a long way. But back in those days, schools like Harvard and Yale and Princeton and Brown were established not to teach humanistic philosophy like they do today, and not to permeate the theories of evolution throughout another generation. Those schools were founded to train preachers to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the world. That's the great effectual door God opened in the Philadelphian church age. And listen, we're still benefiting from that today. This church exists here because somebody came along and preached the gospel here. Back in the early 1900s, which ain't far off of 1881. So, I want to say this though about the King James. Satan, during those dark ages, he tried to chain the King James, or the Word of God. He tried to chain the Word of God. And he was successful in that for about 1,000 years. But then the Lord stepped in, flexed his muscles, and got that Word of God back into the common man's hand. And so Satan, because he could no longer chain the Word of God, he then began to change the Word of God. And those of you that have had manuscript evidence and know something about the Bible translation history, you know in 1881 that's a significant date. Because in 1881, two potheads in England named Westcott and Hort started to use the Alexandrian Egypt manuscripts and the Sinaiticus manuscripts to produce perverted versions of God's Word. And so because the devil could no longer chain the Word of God, now he's got to try to change it. And those perverted Bibles produced the Laodicean church age. Lukewarm. Rich and have need of nothing. Going about thinking there's nothing wrong, and yet Jesus said, it makes me sick. And so it's really interesting to see how these things begin to fit together historically. But tonight I wanted us to focus on really, not so much the doors that God opened at Philadelphia, although it was great, and I think we ought to pray for that here at Spring City. But I really wanted to drive home, and I hope you've caught it tonight, about the different circumstances of all of these churches and how Jesus just wanted each of them to be faithful right where they were. And he said, if you'll be faithful and overcome right where you're at, he said, I'll make it worth your while. And so for Spring City Baptist Church, listen, I know what we're asking God for this year. We're asking God for 5 families and 5 people to be saved. I got a question for you though. Do I think God can do that? 1,000%. And we're going to be faithful to give out the gospel and go knock the doors and do what we're supposed to do to give him the chance to work. But what if he doesn't? That's the only option. What if it doesn't happen? What if we lose some people? Lord, please no. but honestly, what if that happens? You just got to keep going. Stay faithful. Lord's been awful good to this place for 90 years. As some say, we've come too far to turn back now. Listen, the world and the religious community around us, They might have some things to say about our church, but the only person we really have to answer to is Jesus Christ. And I'll remind you, there is no church in Ephesus today. Been a project to put it back there, but there's really no church in Corinth today. There's no church in Philippi. The city doesn't even exist. And while while the body of Christ exists the world over. Sometimes the little local churches, they do fizzle out. Now, I personally think that the Lord would take a great hit if that happens at Spring City. And I'm begging Him to not let it happen here. I pray somebody's here preaching the gospel when the rapture happens. Hope somebody's standing right here when that trumpet sounds, whether Miss Sharon blows it or not. I hope somebody's standing right here when we're gone. I meant to mention this morning about Sardis. There's a few names have not defiled their garments. Remember over there in 1 Thessalonians 4, God's given us that great passage about the rapture. And He instructs Paul, He says, now write this down. But we, which are alive and remain. That's always sounded to me like it's just not very many people. What if the doors of this place are still open and there's only 5 or 6 meeting here, but they're continuing on for Jesus and they haven't defiled their garments. They're still trying to get out the gospel. That'd be something, wouldn't it? After 90 years, I'd just like to see that happen for the Lord's name's sake. Not necessarily for us, but for Jesus' name's sake, to where people in this community could say, you know what? That place was real. They didn't just have a name that they were alive and they were dead. They had a name that they were alive and they were alive. Amen. And even though there was a very few of them up there, those people served Jesus to the last minute. What a thing. What a commendation that would be. And so, saints at Spring City, just stay faithful right where God's put you. Just be faithful. And one day we'll get to see Him and kiss those beautiful hands. Tell Him, thank you so much, Lord. That'd be a good day. Amen. Let's pray. Father.